Well, we thank God for all the good music today from your voices in life and the choir and singers. Everybody sounded extra good. And the bell choir. Just a little behind the scenes about the bell choir. One of the people who was playing today was participating for the first time. And you can imagine how nervous they would be. Oh, they said beforehand, I just hope everything turns out okay, you know. Well, the Lord honored himself through them. Kevin, the director, was sharing about a month ago that he was headed to Canada as part of his job, and the fellow was arranging transportation for him. And he said, I got to get back Thursday by 6:30 to Irwin, because that's their bell choir practice time. So all those things behind the scenes of a praise to God, and the Lord uses that way. And, you know, he uses his work in our lives like that. Everything you experienced this past week, good and bad, times you were following God, times you were 100 miles away from the Lord in thought, action, or attitude, all those struggles, God was engineering, putting them together to say, look at my son, he's coming on a donkey for you. So a lot of praises to God on Palm Sunday. Pray for Jeff Ewing. He was going to share his testimony. He's out of commission with the flu. That'll knock you fast. So pray for his recovery and each of our health and health of our loved ones at this time of Easter. Hosanna, Lord, save us. I don't know if you ever prayed that prayer for yourself. Lord, save me. Lord, save me from my sin. Lord, save me from hell. I don't know if you've ever prayed that prayer. That would be a good prayer to pray. It was prayed on Palm Sunday, and you could pray that in your own heart to find peace with God. You know, in the Bible it says in the book of Ezekiel, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And just think about God's heart at that point. Sometimes if something bad happens to a real wicked person, we kind of are happy about that. But the Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So if when the Lord tells us about hell, or if you and I think about hell itself as being apart from God forever, there's no pleasure in the heart of God about that. He tells us about that because he loves us very much, so he warns us very strongly. He rides into Jerusalem for a mission to go to the cross to save us from the reality of hell. Hell's real, and unfortunately it's a path chosen by many. We've known what that path is like, I'm sure, at one time or another in our lives. Charles Spurgeon, who was very serious about heaven and hell, he was a preacher in London in the 1800s, trying to tell Christians how to communicate about that important truth. He said, well, when you talk, if you remember, he said, you talk about heaven, your life should be lit up with the joy of heaven. Hopefully that's part of us. And he said, when you speak on hell, your normal face will do. So that was his way, you know, to say, think about that. So important. And what did Jesus say about hell? He's God's son. He has absolute authority. So what he says is the truth, could set us free. It's not based on the opinion of people or, you know, what we feel about it or how we think it might or may not be a part of reality. Jesus would tell us the truth. He loves us. God, he's God's son come in the flesh. And he's the most compassionate, loving teacher there ever was. So he'll tell us really the truth about hell to help us. And Jesus taught about hell more than anyone else in the Bible. So if we were to minimize hell, we would minimize Christ. If we were to take hell seriously, we would take Christ seriously and rejoice in his salvation. Well, what Jesus taught about hell, that hell was eternal fire. So something that has to do with a long, long, long time, eternity, and fire. Something bad and painful when it hits us. One of the little children in Sunday school asked their teacher the question, is there real fire in hell? You know, and the teacher, just looking at the Bible, said, I think God's word seems to say, yeah, there's real fire in hell, but more painful than fire would be hell being apart from God forever. And in the heart, no possibility of joy or love or peace or Christ. And think about that in our hearts. Sometimes our hearts go in a direction where we see no possibility of love or joy or peace or Christ. That shows us we're on the pathway of eternity without God. And God would do everything possible to stop us from that path. When you and I choose against Christ, we take our life away from the precious gift of God and we move it away from Him. What did Jesus teach concerning hell, whether you and I deserve to be there? What about this trip into Jerusalem and to the cross of all places? I think in Sunday school they were teaching the cross wasn't just for a regular capital crime. It was for people. They were the worst criminals were sent to the cross. And why was Jesus treated like that? What did Jesus teach in terms of whether you and I deserve to go to hell? In 2003, just 6 short years ago, most people in our country believed there was a hell, there was a heaven. And real simply, hearts would go to one place or another. And in that same group of people were asked, do you think you might go to hell? Only 1% said, yes, I think I might go to hell. So there was a serious lack of the reality, the place, and whether our heart would be in that direction without God's intervention. What did Jesus say about hell? One before we speak of him, Tozer said, those who think they are worthy of heaven will certainly not go to that place. And speaking of heaven, you think about our hearts. Those who think they are worthy of heaven will certainly not go to that place. Here's what Jesus said about hell in terms of some things that happen in our lives that show us, boy, we're on the wrong path. We need salvation so desperately. Well, Jesus said this, if you're angry with your brother, if you call your brother a fool, you are in danger of the judgment of hell. So it was a matter of how things are going in your heart toward people to show evidence of what path your heart is on. And I don't know about you, you know, anger tied into loss and disappointment in life. Sometimes we could hold on to that toward others and maybe toward ourselves. And boy, it feels like hell. There's no relief. Jesus said, you're in danger of the judgment of hell when that kind of thing is happening in your heart. What else did the Lord say was a sign that we deserve hell? He said this in Matthew chapter 25. If you fail to love those who are hungry, help them in some manner. If you fail to clothe those who were naked, if you didn't welcome the stranger, then Jesus said this. Now, these are his words. He would say, the king would say to you, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil. So again, the direction of our heart taking us away from God as opposed to toward God. We have to confess, boy, that's a tendency in our life. I could see myself wearing those shoes. What else did Jesus say about deserving hell? He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. So, yeah, we could ask, does our hearts and life confess Christ? Or there's no evidence that we know Christ based on our life and our walk. Jesus said, that is a reality to face. What else did Jesus teach about hell? He said, if you commit adultery in your heart, your destination would be hell. So it has to do with things of the heart, how we treat people in our emotions, in our commitments and thought life, and those things. And Jesus also taught if we carry around unforgiveness in our hearts and are an unmerciful servant, someday the master would say, you have to pay back everything you owe. Boy, I don't know about you. I would not want to have to pay back everything I owe to God. I can never do it. And the things that are in my life that are against him and that are sin. And furthermore, the Bible teaches often the way we treat God's people is an evidence of whether we're headed to heaven or hell. In 1 John, it says this, if you reject Christ's people, not in fellowship with them, you're out of fellowship with them, that shows that you were never in fellowship with Christ. Those who would go, I from a fellowship of God's people show their heart is not for God or His people. That's a high standard. But it really makes sense on an everyday level. If I say, I have great admiration for Mr. Smith and, you know, say a lot of good things about him, but his children, I don't know nothing to do with his children. I can't relate to them. They're not the way they should be. His wife is out to lunch. You would say, hey, I don't think you really love Mr. Smith the way you're connected with those who he loves. And so Christ would give all that evidence that would you and I deserve hell? Our hands would have to go up, would be like that 1%. I think I might go to hell, realistically, not stretching the truth in any means. C.S. Lewis taught there's something in each of us that if left unchecked would take us to hell apart from God forever. And yet perhaps you just have to look at yourself in your worst moment this past week. You know, if that was left unchecked, wouldn't that take you away from God forever? Much to the dismay of your own soul. Sometimes our souls are so dismayed, we can't even see how to get on the right path. Jesus has to become the path for us. He did come to Jerusalem for that very purpose. So to take the warning of hell seriously, Jesus said, if you don't believe, you stand condemned already. He said, if you reject the Son, you won't see life. God's wrath remains upon you. Was there life from God in your soul this week? Christ would give it. If you'd be, you know, honest enough to say, but I deserve hell, and I agree with Jesus 100%. He'd help you turn to Him. And it's really a life turning from ourselves, turning to God. Why would God send you to heaven if you're miserable about Him and everything that has to do with Him? Some who choose hell would be miserable in heaven. Because to be close to God now is like a big chore, you see. You wouldn't want to do that forever. So God says, can I rescue you from destruction that's true and it's real? And can I offer you life with me instead? And then people said, Hosanna, God save us. God save us from hell. And into all that, Jesus comes riding on a donkey. If the Savior's going to come for us, why is He riding on a donkey? Well, He's riding on a donkey to fulfill Scripture, for one thing. And He's the King of Kings, but He's the people's King. And there's something about that riding on a donkey that should tug at our hearts. He wasn't just the king for the big guys or the political leaders. He was the people's King. He came on a donkey. He came lowly and humble, reaching out to the lowliest sinner. So this morning, if you see yourself as a lowly sinner, Christ would connect with you on the donkey. Last week, our President Obama was in England with his wife, meeting a lot of people and doing things. And in one of the encounters, Mrs. Obama was with the Queen and did something I guess British folks don't do. She put her arm around the Queen. And eventually she realized, well, maybe that's not a good idea, so off the arm goes. And with Jesus coming on the donkey, the Savior on the donkey, if you put your arm around Christ, you won't have to take it off. Nobody would say, no, don't do that. In fact, Jesus would put His arm around you first. And He'd reach out to you. And He'd say, give me the sin that you have. Give me the sin that you have, and I will take it to the cross and die in your place. And you would say, now that's the kind of King I'm looking for. Greater love of no one than this, that He would lay down His life for those who He would call His friends. And there's Jesus. We could give our heart to Him. You'll hear Him praying for us at the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. We're headed to hell at top speed unless Christ would come to Jerusalem and then come to our heart. And that's the truth of the thing that God would tell us about and warn us about. On the cross, he'd face hell for us. So we wouldn't have to go to hell. You know, it wasn't just a bunch of guys angry at Jesus. He faced hell for us so we wouldn't have to face hell. And Paul knew that the love of other people so much, he said, and this is quite a amount of love, but it's expressed at the Christ's cross. Paul the apostle said, I would rather go to hell myself than have any of my loved ones in the Jewish faith go to hell. Now that's a lot of love. I'm sure in your heart you would say that for your immediate loved ones. You know, yeah, I could see saying that for wife, children. You know, beyond that, who would you say it for? God would say it for you. Yeah, I'd rather face hell than have each one of us face hell. The truth that Jesus taught about. And there's Jesus. He brings us good news on that donkey and at the cross and at the resurrection. He says, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me can have life and life forever. He's crossed over from death to life. And he will not be condemned. So here we are all deserving hell. And there's God saying, I won't condemn you because of the love of my son. And putting your trust in Christ is going from your own kingdom that is dark and self-destructive to the kingdom of God's beloved son. Now, who would not want Jesus as their king? Is there anybody here who would say, no, not for me. I don't need him. Sure, your heart would say, yeah, I need him. And to really need him is to trust him. And to really trust him is to really follow him. Because if you say you trust him and you don't follow him, yeah, you're only fooling yourself. But if you say you trust him, then you really follow him. And you take him as your own. There's Jesus, the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world, the heavy burden on our back. There's Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laying down his life for the sheep. And he's the Savior on the donkey for you. And if you put your trust in him, your heart will soon proclaim this in a real way. You'll say, my knee would gladly bow, and my tongue would gladly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And that's part of Jesus' mission for your life. Your knee would gladly bow, your tongue would gladly confess, your life would gladly confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And here it's Easter time. Another Easter, another chance to turn to Christ. Another opportunity to hear the good news. Remember, as he came to Jerusalem, hell is his real and heaven is real. Life without him is real. Life with him is abundant and with his strength and care. Remember the truth that life is short, death is sure. Hell is real, and sin is the cause, and Christ is the cure. Christ is the cure. He loves you. And would you say, hear Jesus say to you, come and follow me. Come and follow me, all who are weary and overburdened. He would give us rest. Put your trust in him and follow him, and your life will be made new, and he'll answer the prayer, Hosanna. Lord, save us. Lord, save me. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to be close to the Lord at communion.